Hi, everyone. Welcome to Crosstalk with Novell, discussions on the future of research and navigating the current landscape imparted by the social distancing in your research, patient, and student interactions. I'm Anna Zek with Novell, and with me today is Kevin Ford. Kevin is a professor at High Point University in the School of Health Sciences and the Department of Physical Therapy. He also serves as the director of the biomechanics laboratory there and will serve as interim dean starting in August. He received his PhD at the University of Kentucky in the Exercise Science Biomechanics program. Kevin's research focuses on the design of innovative studies that answer the question of why devastating injuries occur and how to determine how they can be prevented. So he analyzes the biomechanics of really complex sports skills and movement patterns that relate to prevention of injury or enhanced performance in a variety of populations, from really healthy athletes to patients suffering from traumatic injuries. So we're super excited to talk to Kevin today. It's a great conversation and we're excited to have him here. Talk to us a little bit about what the past few months have been like for you, kind of what have been, I know there's obviously been so many lows, which have been really, really difficult, but what are some unexpected blessings that have come out of this time for you?
Yeah, I mean, the easy one is family related, just from a standpoint of being able to spend time with both my daughters and my wife, and forced to do that. But, you know, with my oldest daughter in started college last year, so it's kind of a neat thing to spend a little bit extra time with her, especially. And we've probably had more dinners together than in the past 4 months than the past 4 years, I would say. So that's been really neat. From a work standpoint, it's certainly been challenging adapting to this, but I guess the benefit is we've had some time to kind of reevaluate, reanalyze data to look at things a bit differently. Our engineer, Audrey Westbrook, published a first author paper with some of our work during the time. So that was certainly a high for her and for our lab. It was her first major publication. So that's kind of neat to see, to see your team kind of succeed in that way. And then students, biggest thing for our physical therapy students at High Point University was our first graduating class. And so that's something we've been working towards. And unfortunately, we've had to postpone the graduation ceremony, but just to see them, you know, reach that milestone is pretty neat, even seeing it remotely. So,
absolutely. That's really exciting. Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
So you obviously work with kind of two separate bodies of students. So let's talk kind of about the lab first and the work that you do in there. When it became clear that we were going to have to stay at home, change how we all work, what were those initial conversations like? How did you adapt? And what were some of the biggest obstacles that you had to figure out?
Yeah, it was certainly tough. Our physical therapy students certainly work on projects, but they're also navigating a pretty intense schedule of courses. Our undergraduate students that we work with in typically exercise science, they may have a bit more time to focus on some of the projects. So we focused a few projects towards undergraduate students working remotely on analyzing some data, reading papers. That part's not super exciting all the time, but it was something we could do. We were able to do some journal clubs remotely. Dr. Waxman, who's in exercise science, was able to do a virtual poster session with some of our students when American College of Sports Medicine meeting was kind of pushed virtual. We went ahead and did some of those presentations just locally through Zoom and then also through Teams, so Microsoft Teams. We've used every, I think, platform out there, and sometimes switching, you know, hour to hour. So that's certainly been hard. So the distance thing was initially, we tried to give a bit of break and try to just a bit of calm because there's a lot of anxiety, I think, initially. Still is, honestly, but especially for the students to say, look, we're still going to be here. We'll still have research going, but maybe we can refocus on some things and see how this is going to, you know, work. Once we saw we're pretty much going to be in this for a while, that's when we started to have our meetings back again and try to integrate in and make it as, you know, I don't really like the term new normal. So I it's the new reality. So mm-hmm. that's the, because normal is normal, but this is the reality we're in. So we just had to, you know, focus on some things a bit different, but still make sure they knew we were here to support them. And most importantly, engage in what they've been putting their time into for, you know, the last year to 4 years, however long it's been.
And can you talk a little bit too about the support of students? You mentioned that there was a lot of anxiety, which is totally understandable, but I have to think that's where that consistency comes into play too, still mm-hmm. being the same and still being a reliable, consistent source for them to lean on.
Yeah. You know, I think we were looking very much short term, trying to figure out, all right, let's get to just this next step, and supporting, being there, trying to listen. Probably listen is the big thing. I unfortunately have a tendency to want to fix things, and maybe that's not necessarily the best thing to do in this time, because we don't really have many ways to fix things. So probably listening would be the best way. And every individual we interact with has different challenges. I have a student in Colorado that had to go back home, and she didn't have internet. She was in a remote area, and so she would have to drive into where her mother worked in order to get internet. And so I would meet with her at different time points, and so just little things like that are challenging for one group that may not be for another.
Definitely. Yeah. Just, it sounds like being flexible and kind of adaptable to whatever
things
pop up. You mentioned too, that you've been listening to podcasts, reading books, just taking in what other thought leaders, as you said, have expressed. Have there been any super impactful or just thought provoking articles, books, podcasts that you've listened to, even those that are unrelated to your current research?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've certainly been reading more, which is good. I was given a book by our president, Dr. Cobain. It's called Excellent Wins, and it's by Horst Schultz. He's the CEO, founder of Ritz-Carlton. The hotel chain, and it's a newer book, but it's really about, he's a German individual, and talks a little bit about his growing up and how he basically became the leader of a premier hotel chain, and so kind of the stories along the way of serving customers, and how we can apply just the being a servant to everybody, and so in education, academia. That's certainly some important things that I took from the book. And just his leadership style was all about engaging. And so that's a little bit that I took from that book. So still discussing it with some other colleagues, which is a good way to learn as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's another concept you touched on there, the idea of being a servant leader. I did want to ask too, how companies like Novell, technology developers, how can those types of companies work to help you, help your students in this kind of environment? How can they be a more effective partner?
Yeah, I mean, we've had great experiences over this challenging times with the majority of the companies we work with. And just from, I mean, again, I come back to listening. So listening to what the needs are of the researchers or of the whoever's using that piece of equipment or technology, but also for us to listen to what challenges may be coming along and actively happening. So that part's important, I think, and having a kind of a mutual understanding of what each of our challenges are, because sometimes they're very similar and sometimes they may not be. And but to give a concrete example, just, you know, even as simple as modifying a software license or a service contract that was due at a certain time, you know, those are little things that certainly help, you know, in the moment that you don't have to stress or worry about. Providing opportunities like this to talk and still have interactions that we've missed at conferences and mm-hmm. you know, that's been a very important growth for a lot of myself and colleagues to interact with all the latest and greatest things that are happening. And those conferences are different now, so how do we continue to have those experiences?
Absolutely. Last question here as we wrap up. Speaking of conferences, do you remember what your first ESM conference was, where it was?
First one, Australia, Brisbane.
That's a good one.
So, yep. So that would have been in 1988, I believe.
1988, yeah.
88, I think. I think it was 88. Or 98, I'm sorry, 98.
Yeah, 98.
I was in high school in 88. So.
I was like, I think you're aging yourself a little bit.
Yeah, so that's so Brisbane, 1998. Great time. It was actually one of the first times I presented at at an international meeting. And it was a great experience that I'm still very fond of and have certainly traveled and been able to see a lot of places, but probably more importantly, a lot of people that have had a big impact on me, because you see what makes labs work. And it's not the fancy, you know, our lab is beautiful here at High Point, but and well equipped with a lot of Novell equipment.
nice plug.
But it's really the people that you get to work with and build your team around that make a difference. And I certainly learned that early on from all the different groups that I was able to meet with.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time and for showing us your beautiful lab there in the background. Mm-hmm. Even if the lights turned off on you again.
Yeah, the lights came down. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's time to go home for the weekend.